Three quick preliminaries. Most of you are already aware that today there will be no 5 o'clock service, as is normally true on the Lord's Day, but we'll have a 1 o'clock service instead. Sandwiched between worship and our second worship will be a time of having lunch together and enjoying one another's fellowship and company, and we encourage you to stay. We have a number of people out of town, but as always is true, we have a number of guests, among whom are Rich and Rhonda Dolan, and we are so glad to have them with us. And I have already asked Rich if he would to preach a little and update a little in our abbreviated second service that begins at 1. So I hope that you'll stay around to hear Rich. He did a great job the last time they were here in speaking to us and updating us. And it's amazing how much a fella can cram in a short amount of time of God's Word and updating concerning mission work. And so I know his mind is feverishly working on that, because as a missionary, he's had to do it on more than one occasion. But we also have Eddie Pitchford and his wife with us. Eddie preaches at Coahoma. We're thankful to have them with us too. His brother Jimmy is a dear friend of mine, just talked with on the phone yesterday. Jimmy didn't tell me Eddie was going to be with us with his wife today, but good to have them with us too. No surprise, life is full of challenges. No surprise. At different times, we think of particular events as a great challenge. It might be a 5K and completing one. It could be a marathon and completing it. It might be a triathlon and competing in and completing a triathlon. It could be radiation and chemotherapy, a great challenge. It could be planning for a new arrival, a baby to come into this world. It could be planning for a wedding, a challenge. That can be. It can be getting through a funeral. That can be very challenging, can it? There's a lot of things in life that are challenging. Some of them are really great challenges. Some of them, as we think about it, not nearly as great as we thought. You know, there have been plenty of times that I thought getting out of Walmart, Sam's, or HEB for under $100 would be a real challenge. You know what I mean? Now, it might almost be a miracle, but it is not impossible. But there are challenges. We ought to be grateful for challenges. We really should. Because ultimately, as the people of God, we know what Paul said is true. We know all things work together for good to them that love the Lord and are the called according to His purpose. We believe that God is bigger and greater than our problems. Not only that, we believe that any challenge or any problem that comes our way, if it will make us more like Jesus, then it's worthwhile. Romans 8:29. Whatever will cause us to be conformed to the image of God's dear Son is something that is ultimately for God's glory and for our good. Challenges. We all have to face them. Here's four basics for every challenge to think about. First of all, understand the nature of the challenge. Understand the nature of the challenge. Secondly, understand how to best go about dealing with the challenge. Understand how to best go about dealing with the challenge. Number three, be willing to tackle it. Be willing to tackle the challenge. And number four, trust in God's strength and grace for the ability to endure and to rise to the challenge. What's life's greatest challenge? For the Christian, life's greatest challenge is being like Jesus. and it's not even close. In the incarnation, he reflects us, humanity. In faith, we reflect him. In the flesh, he came to reflect us, to be a human being. But in faith, we ought to reflect him. And in the course of our study this morning, I'd like to look at eight aspects of life's greatest challenge. Are you up for the challenge? Because you see, when we became a Christian, a lot of matters were settled. The matter of commitment, the matter of a charge, the idea of responding to, of rising to challenges that might come our way in a way that reflects Jesus. All these things are basically taken care of or ought to be when one comes to the Lord. But it's not always so simple, is it? Challenges can be overwhelming. Things that we didn't see coming and that we could never prepare for. Eight aspects of properly responding to life's greatest challenge, being like Jesus. Are you with me? Aspect number one. The challenge to live like Jesus lived. In 1 John 2 and verse 6, Evan read for us just a moment ago, he that says he abides in him ought himself to walk even as he walked. In 1 Peter 2 and verse 21, the Word of God says he left us an example that we should follow in his steps. We think about how Jesus lived. You know, how he lived, what he lived for, and what motivated him can be very insightful for us in thinking how we should live, what we should live for, and why we should do it. The purpose, the motivation of it all. In John 4 and verse 34, the Lord said, "My meat is to do the will of him who sent me." In John 6 and verse 38, "My will? No. I came to do the will of my Father who's in heaven." In the prayer of example, "Your will be done," Matthew 6 and verse 10, not merely considered, not merely paid lip service to, not merely talked about, "Your will be done." And then he says, "On earth as it is in heaven." Think about how God's will is done in heaven. Jesus was about doing God's will on earth the way God's will is done in heaven. Shouldn't we be as well? To live as he lived, what a challenge. He would say in John 8 and verse 29, "I always do the things that are pleasing to him." He would live above sin, without sin. "Which one of you convicts me of sin?" John 8 and verse 46. And yet what we have is a high priest who understands temptation and sin. Hebrews 2, 17 and 18. He knows what it's like to be tempted, but without sin. Hebrews 4 and verse 15. Nobody can ever look at Jesus and point the finger of accusation and say, "Lord, you don't know what it's like to live here." In the flesh, he became like us, so that through faith we will become like him. Say that with me. In the flesh he became like us, so that in faith we become like him. Got it? What a challenge. He always lived the way he should, and we ought to live in a way that reflects him. Secondly, there's the challenge to grow as Jesus grew. The challenge to grow as Jesus grew. Now, Of course, I'm going to get to Luke 2 and verse 52, which is a familiar passage to many of you. You can turn to Luke 2, and it talks about how Jesus grew, and he grew in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God and men. That's how he grew. It's a great lesson, especially for young people. But you need to go up a few verses and look also at Luke chapter 2 and verse 40. Because that particular passage tells us that Jesus grew. It goes on to tell us that he grew and was full of wisdom and the Spirit. He grew in spirit. It tells us that the grace of God was upon him. So not only does he grow physically and socially and mentally and intellectually and spiritually, you've got verse 40 really telling us a lot about the development, the growth of Jesus. And then we encounter a passage later in the New Testament, like 2 Peter 3:18, that says, grow. Grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. What God puts together, keep together. What God put together in Luke 40, keep together. What God puts together in Luke 2:52, keep together. What God puts together in 2 Peter 3:18, keep together. Because some people grow in knowledge, but they neglect to grow in grace. And some people are gracious and merciful and loving, but it's a twisted view of those things to some degree because they've not grown in knowledge properly. Grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Think about that. I want to live like Jesus lived, don't you? I want to live the way he lived, how he lived, and why he lived. And I understand that Jesus goes to the cross for our sins. But the sacrificial greater purpose of his life is something that we can emulate, at least in principle. We're not dying for somebody else's sins. But we can live sacrificial, purposeful lives. For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. Philippians 1:21. Third, the challenge of thinking as Jesus thought. The challenge of thinking the way Jesus thought. There are some ways in which we can't fully relate to that, but there are other ways that we can, and that's where I want us to think for a moment. There are ways that our thinking can reflect Jesus and ought to. Philippians 2 verse 5, have this mind, this attitude, this disposition in you, which was also in Christ. There were plenty of people in Paul's time and plenty of people today who mind earthly things, Philippians 3 and verse 19. In Philippians 4, verse 8, Paul would admonish and encourage, if there's any virtue, if there's any praise, think on these things. As one thinks in his heart, so is he, Proverbs 23 and verse 7. You, as a Christian, are to have the mind of Christ, 1 Corinthians 2 and verse 16. You know, I think about that often. Life is full of busyness. Amen to that. Life is full of distractions. One can find ourselves, even in worship to God, distracted with our mind going many, many places, can't we? There was a focus and a thoughtfulness to our Lord that I need to reflect more in my own life. Maybe you do too. To be able to think more like Jesus thought. The other day I was working on a manuscript for publication and the due date is right on me and I was in the zone. And I got to tell you, I was just over my computer and bam, 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 I'm going, man. It's one of those times where you can say, okay, I don't lack for focus. And then when I finally came up for air, you know, because I was turning blue, I came up for air. I noticed that Karen was there and that she and Cherie were talking about Vacation Bible School and they were quite loud, but I didn't even know Karen had come into our house. I didn't know she'd walked right past me. I didn't know she'd walk past me to go into the bedroom. I was just focused. Whenever I can focus more on the way Jesus thought like that, I'll be becoming more like Jesus. In the flesh, He became like us so that in faith I can become like Him and you too. To think. Keep your heart with all diligence, out of it proceed the issues of life, Proverbs 4 and verse 23. Fourth, life's greatest challenge is to be like Jesus and to obey as He obeyed. To obey as He obeyed. Though He were a son, yet learned He obedience by the things that He suffered. Hebrews 5, verses 8 and 9. He obeyed. He delighted to do God's will. He delighted to do God's will. He obeyed. To obey as He obeyed. Think about where that took Him. That took Him to a point of a great challenge in the cross. Our obedience will take us through the valley of the shadow of death, Psalm 23:2. And just as it's sometimes difficult for us to think as Jesus thought, sometimes it's difficult for us to obey as Jesus obeyed. Recall in the garden again, "Your will be done." Matthew chapter 26, 39 through 42. Sometimes I don't want to do God's will. Sometimes I want God to alter His will and make it mine. Sometimes I want it to be my will be done. It's a great challenge sometimes to want to obey the way He obeyed. He's humble. He's meek. Matthew 11, 28. "And as a lamb led before the shearers is silent, so opened He not His mouth." And sometimes I'll do what's right, but I'm going to open my mouth about it in a way I shouldn't. Anybody here ever done that? Don't raise your hand. To obey as He obeyed. Number five here, I believe. To give as Jesus gave. To give as Jesus gave. It is more blessed to give than to receive. Acts 20 and verse 35. It is called the supreme attitude for a reason, because it so reflects Jesus. "Greater love has no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends." John 15, 13. "Yet Jesus died for sinners and enemies." Romans 5, verses 6 through 11. To give. He commends, through Paul, the Macedonian Christians in 2 Corinthians 8, 1 through 5. He commends them for their giving, noting that they had first given themselves to the Lord. God is able to make all grace abound toward those who give. 2 Corinthians 8 and 9 mentions giving a lot. But then it mentions giving in the context of God's grace and God's goodness. Giving. Your checkbook says more about you than you'll ever know. Your credit card statement says a lot about you. Where is God in your checkbook and credit card statement? To give as Jesus gave. And sometimes when we think about giving of our time and our talent and our treasure to God, sometimes we feel as though we are just about give out. We're just about give out. If that's how you feel, next Sunday morning sermon will be for you. Lord, I'm tired. Lord, I'm tired. But to give like Jesus gave. Does he give resentfully? Does he give with an attitude that's lacking in love and grace and mercy? Does he give out of arrogance and look down on others? To give as he gave. Next, this is number 6, to love as he loved. Of all of the challenges involved in being like Jesus, this can stretch us the most, to love like he loves. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this shall all men know you are my disciples, by your love one for another. Love is a doctrinal matter. There is no way that the people of God should be emphasizing the truth about baptism for the forgiveness of sins in the undenominational church and neglect brotherly love. It doesn't fit. Because the Lord is not indicating that God's people will be known merely for their doctrinal health and soundness and where they stand, but how they love. It's not either or, it's both and. Love is a doctrinal matter. Love is a functional matter. Love is a functional matter because love acts. It expresses. Expresses to God and to others. We love Him. He first loved us. 1 John 4:19. Love one another. Love with a pure heart fervently. 1 Peter 1:22. And all of the one another passages talk about, by its very nature, love is to be reciprocal. It's a reciprocal functional matter. But love is a relational matter, one another. It's a relational matter. We love one another. And this is important to keep in mind because distorted views of love love things. And when we love things, we will use people. And when we love God and people, we will use things to bless people. Do you see what it's being said? And as Jesus hangs on the cross that we focused on a few moments ago in the Lord's Supper, we see from his head, his hands, and his feet sorrow and love flowing mingled down. You talk about giving. You talk about loving. And by his stripes we are healed. Number 7. Life's greatest challenge has to do with being like Jesus. I want to forgive more like Jesus. Forgiving as He forgave. There are some of us that keep a grudge, and it seems as if nothing can shake us of our grudge. We just hold on to it. To forgive as He forgave. On the cross, He would say, "Father, forgive them, they know not what they do," Luke 23:34. That tells me something. I should be willing to forgive others in their ignorance and even in some of their meanness, in the awareness that they don't know what they're doing, and that God's grace may well bring about their repentance. And that would have happened in the lives of so many in the days that would follow. I think of 2 Timothy 2:24 through 26, where we pray that people who are in sin will correct their behavior and that God would grant them repentance. Forgiveness. Forbearing one another in love, Ephesians 4 and verse 2. Colossians 3 and verse 13 says, "If any has a complaint against one another, forgive even as Christ forgave you." Ephesians 4:32, "But be kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake has forgiven you." Matthew 6:14-15. "For if you forgive not, neither will you be forgiven by the Father." You know, sometimes there's not going to be the perfect resolution to when we have been sinned against. But every Christian must refuse to allow their heart and soul to become poisoned by bitterness and hatred and animosity. There's many things in life as we go through these challenges that we simply have got to say, "I lay this at your feet, God. I've done what needs to be done, all I can do. But I don't want my heart and soul to become poisoned and embittered by what has occurred." To forgive as He forgave. I know what the Bible says, and you do too. If a man sins against you, you are to rebuke him, and if he repents, forgive him. For one thing, that passage will go on as elsewhere instructs. Luke 17:3-4. That there's a lot of slaps and insults in life that we can take and turn the other cheek. But what if they don't repent? We take it to the Father and leave it with Him. Because you think you've been sinned against. You think you've been offended. You have been the one that has often offended God, and so have I. And it takes us a while sometimes to desperately see how much we need His forgiveness and grace and mercy, doesn't it? Finally, this is number 8. What a challenge. The great challenge of life is to be like Jesus. And thankfully, we can be strong in the grace that's in Jesus. 2 Timothy 2 and verse 1. We can be strong in the Lord and the strength of His might. Ephesians 6 and verse 10. We are not left just to our own intellect and strength and talent to try to face all of life's challenges. The challenge to overcome as He overcame. He endured so much during His short time on earth. He would say, I must work the works of Him who sent me while it's day. The night comes, no man can work. John 9 and verse 4. Shortly before He would go to the cross, He would say, I have glorified You on earth. I have finished the work that You gave me to do. John 17, 4 and 5. He would say from the cross, it is finished. John 19 and verse 30. He would endure so much. He would endure hostility. Hebrews 12 and verse 3. He would endure affliction. 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 5. He would endure hardship. 2 Timothy 2 and verse 3. He would endure grief. 1 Peter 2 and verse 9. But He would endure temptation as well, victoriously. James 1 and verse 12. And He would be blessed and happy because of the glory He would give to God. James 5 and verse 11. Do you know it's possible for us to overcome even as He overcame? The word overcome is one of the key words in the book of Revelation. It's found 17 times in 22 chapters. The one who overcomes sin and Satan and self, Jesus promises, can come over and be with me forever. Life's greatest challenge is to be like Him. But we also have God's great motivation to do just that. His love and His mercy. His grace and His promise. I hope the lesson has benefited you. And when you walk out now, be like Jesus. And when you're tempted to say and to think and to do and behave in any way that's not like Jesus, ask Him for the grace and strength. Ask God for the grace and strength to be like Him. We're about to stand and sing our song of encouragement. Through faith, repentance, and baptism, one can come to God. One can come to God's Son. One can have their sins washed away by the blood of Jesus shed at the cross. What amazing, awesome power our God has. And you can go from being someone that doesn't remotely even look like Jesus to someone who looks like Him because you're clean and pure. And we can remain clean and pure as we trust Him. In the flesh, He became like us so that in faith, we become like Him. Let us stand and sing.